Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are searching for truths in ancient orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast on Apple iTunes or on the internet at epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. Whether you're listening on CD, over the internet, or on your MP3 player, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Welcome to The Next Step. Hey, this is Father Vasquez, and welcoming you back to The Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being, and doing it all through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission. It's brought to you by the good folks at the Apostles' Net, apostolic evangelism for an expanding and electronic universe. So if you're ready, let's take The Next Step. Well, I hope everybody had a great Father's Day this past weekend, and it's now my turn to say Happy Father's Day to all of you, to all of our fathers who are listening, to all of our mothers who happen to be doing the fatherly kind of things in their lives, and just about to everybody who happens to be a parent. I guess that's what we need to start celebrating. More than Mother's Day, more than Father's Day, we need to start celebrating parents. I'm going to be talking a little bit about that because you know what happened this week? John plus Kate plus 8 became Kate plus 8, and holy moly, you know, the world just needs these kind of things, I guess. We just got off the kick of celebrating the Lakers win, and now we're tuned in to what's going on with John and Kate. And what about the 8? Well, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about parenting today. I want to focus in on fatherhood in a very unique way, in a different way, in the next step fashion, viewed through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy, okay? So if you'll go there with me, that's where we're going to head. And of course, we have Ani with her bubbles, and along this whole line, you know, there's some stuff going on in the world that is unescapable. Last week, I talked about the need for peace, not beginning with our escalation of weapons and war, but our need to accept peace ourselves, especially when we're looking at troublesome areas like Iran, like Korea, what's going on in Darfur. We're going to be talking about all of that today in a big way, and tying it in to parenting. And the need for us to take on that responsibility in our lives. So stay tuned today. We've got a great show for you. I'm going to kick it off with a great song today, as we always do. More than just a song, it's a hymn. It's actually a prayer. Yes, you've probably guessed it on Father's Day. How about the Our Father?
արքայություն եւ զորություն եւ փառք Հավիդյանը Սավիդենից ամեն.
Yes, you probably recognize that voice. Much younger, Father Vasken. Actually, not too much younger. It was 6 years ago we did that. That's from the Focused Vision album, a CD we produced with the youth choir over at St. Gregory in Pasadena. And it's always fresh voices that I just love listening to that CD. Actually, I'm kind of surprised how long that CD's been going around. You would not believe there are just times. It's been 6 years, 7 years since we produced that. There are people that write to me still, that call me. I just received a call from New York just about a week ago. Somebody who stumbled upon the CD and just was thanking us for the blessing. And of course, that blessing is from God, because it is really, the name of that CD is called Focused Vision. It's when you focus in on the vision, which is the Divine Liturgy, the Holy Eucharist, of Jesus being in our midst, love being in our midst. That's the vision. And if you focus in on that, you can't go wrong. So that's a great little CD that we have. And I always enjoy playing a tune from here, from that CD, because it reminds me of what our focus should be. And especially I like the youthful voices, because it's in that youth that you find life. It's a reminder that for us old voices, we got to remember to keep a lot of life going, because it is a celebration. That's what the Eucharist should be. It is a celebration for something as precious as life, something that God has given us to celebrate. And as we look at so many of the difficulties that are taking place in the world, you know, it's very easy for us to forget that there is a celebration that we're invited to. And certainly when you look at those difficulties, at those hot spots in the world, it is very, very easy to forget about the good and lose that balance. But this is where the challenge is for you and me, to be able to bring life back into death, you know, to conquer those deathful moments with the life that God has given us. I mean, isn't that really the challenge, to bring about peace? Not by bringing more death, more suffering, but by really hitting it head on with life, with celebration. Think about that for a moment. In everything you do, and that's what real worship should be. Worship is not something to just sit around and kick around and say, "Ooh, I got to go spend a couple hours inside of a stuffy church." It's a time to really get out there, make some noise, make a party about it, because it is worshiping this very special thing that God has given you. It's that breath that you have. It's that life beat that you have. It's that ticker. It's just all around you. And yes, when there are difficulties, when there are tragedies beyond belief, when you just can't comprehend what's going on in the world, you have to take that higher road. You have to be able to hit it head on with love and joy and happiness. Yeah, it's hard. It's really illogical too. But I'm telling you, that's what we've got to do in this world, because even more illogical is to say that I'm going to bring about peace by going around and blowing people up. I'm going to bring about peace by having bigger weapons, by having bigger bombs. Now, let me ask you, which one is the more illogical thing? To bring peace by peace and love, or bringing peace by bombing and killing people? Now, you be the judge of that. You answer that question. It's very logical what I'm talking about, isn't it? Anyway, that all stems from the Lord's Prayer, which we heard a few minutes ago, sung so beautifully by those youthful voices. And, you know, the Lord's Prayer, also called the Our Father, and I like that. In Armenian, it's called the Hayr Mer, Derunagan Ahotk, or the Lord's Prayer, really is kind of misleading, because it is the one prayer that Jesus would not recite himself. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespassed against us. What trespasses did he have? The incarnation of love cannot have a trespass. You see how it works? So to call it a Lord's Prayer doesn't work. It is not his prayer. It is a prayer that he directed us, you and me, who are out of sync with that love, for us to be reciting. And what do we say? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We're talking about this beautiful concept of fatherhood. this complete, total concept of fatherhood. And now, I want to just break off from this concept for a moment and come back to it, because I was rudely awakened this week, I guess Monday morning, with, you know, my usual, let's say, routine on during the week is I get up very early and I download my podcast, my series of podcasts that I like to listen to. And one day I got to share those with you too. There's some kind of fun things in there. But I download those podcasts and then I go for my walk. And by the time I get back from my walk, I'm in time for the 7 o'clock news. And as I'm getting ready, I'll have the news in the background. And so this week, Monday morning, they're talking about a couple people and their children. Well, this is kind of interesting for me. They're talking about John and Kate. And 8. John, Kate, plus 8. John and Kate, and 8. Something like this. And they're talking about how upset people are because John is leaving Kate. And so it will no longer be John and Kate plus 8, but it will be Kate and 8. And it will work because it will rhyme, Kate and 8. And I was just getting used to William Archilla, you know? I mean, like, okay, do we need all this rhyming in our lives? Okay, so I'm listening and I'm seeing people, they're interviewing people on the street who are talking about how upset they are about John and Kate. Now, I gotta tell you, divorce in any sense, I mean, it's sad. Even in the best of circumstances when it's agreeable, it's sad. Because no matter what, it's a loss. It's a loss of something. And all of a sudden, we're just talking about these two people, and as I'm looking at them, I'm saying, who are these people? Who are these people? All of a sudden, we're in their lives, and we're starting to look at their lives, and we're seeing their divorce. I mean, divorce right now, it's 1 out of every 2 marriages is ending in divorce. So it's nothing new. It's nothing exceptional, but for some reason, we're focusing in on these people. Well, it turns out that they have 8 children. Okay, now, we're talking about parenting. We're talking about fatherhood. In fact, this is right after Father's Day. And all of a sudden, you're hearing about these ideas of what's going on in their relationship. There's a couple things that I want to really focus in on today. When we talk about parenting, when we talk about fathering, when we talk about these kind of stories. First of all, the people that we make famous. You have nobody to blame but yourself. Sometimes it's very easy to say that the media makes a big deal out of these people. Well, the media only does because you and I buy into that. You know, one of the biggest votes that you have is the ability to turn off that media. But we don't. We are obsessed with people that are ridiculous in our lives. And I think that part of that has to do with because we're so overwhelmed with what life has to give us that we seek the absurd. The absurd is out there and we have to sort of like latch on to it because everything else is even more absurd. As I was saying a few minutes ago, what's more illogical, to bring peace through killing or bring peace by being peaceful? Well, already the world has given us that illogic. So we take it to the maximum by getting involved in these reality sitcoms of looking at life. And yes, you heard me right. Reality sitcoms, that's what I call them. Yes, I know it sounds like it's contradictory, the terms, but they aren't reality shows. They are sitcoms. They are being produced for one reason, because they have entertainment value, and entertainment value means somebody's making some money. So it's not really a reality show. It is a production, and it is a production to bring you in, and by bringing you in, there are some monetary rewards for the producer, right? They get to sell advertisement and there are sponsorships and so on. So these shows, we got to get away from this idea that they are here to teach us something. And we've got to get off of this drug addiction that we have. That somehow these people's lives are important to you and me. I've said many times, and I'll continue to say it. This is the drug addiction of the day. It is not something you smoke. It is not something you ingest. It's something that we're just being inundated from all sides, being told that these people's lives are important. And sadly, here's the part that I bring in, is sadly that inside of these people's lives, we see the models for parenting. We see the models for relationships. And what I want to challenge each and every one of us to look beyond that and see that the real models are outside of that. The real models that we need can be found. And I'll show you where you can find them. But how about a little spiritual bubble right now to lift us up? Well, here's Ani with today's message.
Today's spiritual bubble comes from Father Pat. Steps to happiness. Everybody knows you can't be all things to all people. You can't do all things at once. You can't do all things equally well. You can't do all things better than everybody else. Your humanity is showing, just like everybody else's. So, you have to find out who you are and be that. You have to decide what comes first and do that. You have to discover your strengths and use them. You have to learn not to compete with others, because no one else is in the contest of being you. Then, you will have learned to accept your own uniqueness. You will have learned to set priorities and make decisions. You will have learned to live with your limitations. You will have learned to give yourself the respect that is due, and you'll be a most vital mortal. Dare to believe that you are a wonderful, unique person, that you are a once-in-all-history event, that it's more than a right, it's your duty to be who you are. That life is not a problem to solve, but a gift to cherish. And we'll be able to stay one up on what used to get us. This has been today's spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Thank you very much, Ani. That is beautifully said. And I think that this message really has to be one that we keep reiterating, especially in the context of a religious podcast or a religious show, so to speak, because so much of religion is about changing the way people think. And certainly we do our share too, right? We want to change the ways of war and bring about peace and talk about love. It's all about changing, and sometimes we forget that we have to celebrate the individual for who he or she is. And certainly, you are created in the image of God, and just before he sends you down to earth, what does he do? He pokes his finger right inside of you and says, "You're okay." And that's why you got that little belly button there. And you know, if the dough is ready, it stays in, and if the dough is a little bit moist, it pops out. And that's the difference between an innie and outie. So remember that whenever you're uncertain of who you are, take a look at your belly button and remember you are okay. So with that in mind, I want to present to you a very special story, a unique story about a very special father. And it's not Bill Cosby, and it's not the big father that we always usually want to think about in church, right? It's not, I'm not going to be talking about our Father, which art in heaven, and whose name has to be hallowed. But I want to talk about a very real father who had to make some very tough decisions. And those of you who have followed these podcasts and know my ministry, you know that I always shy away from using God as an example for us, because certainly Jesus tells us, be perfect like your heavenly Father in heaven. And yes, you should aspire, you should always try to be perfect. But we fall short, don't we? You and I are not perfect. It's a very difficult one to get there. And that's why I always like looking at the saints. The special thing about saints is this, that they're human beings. They had the same temptations that you and I have. They have the same faults that you and I have. They are not gods. They're human beings. They are mortal. They have will. They have conflicts. They have consciences. And yet they are able, when it comes down to it, to make a decision in their lives that really alters not only their lives, but it technically alters the course of humanity. Last week we talked about Haripsime and Gayane. We use them as examples. Well, I mean, if they hadn't made those simple decisions, the first Christian nation would never have gotten off the ground. If they had not made that very simple decision to say yes to God, basically we would not have known in the West or in the East the power of God's love and how great God's love is for civilization. And so small little episodes in our lives, small decisions that we think are seemingly small decisions, can have incredibly large repercussions and really alter not only your life, but the life of families, sometimes communities, and why not the world. So today I'm going to talk about one such person like this, who made a decision, who made several decisions, but did some small little things which had big repercussions. I'm talking about Saint Joseph, the man who was betrothed, who married the Virgin Mary. And Saint Joseph, unfortunately, we know very little about him from Scripture. In fact, Saint Joseph's name pops up only in the Gospel of Saint Matthew and Saint Luke. And they make it clear that he is not the Lord's biological father. He was engaged to Mary when the Holy Spirit came upon her. And it is disappointing that very little biographical information is found there. We know he's a carpenter. We know he was a descendant of David. We know he was from Nazareth. But don't even know that if he was around during Jesus' ministry. In Cana, remember when Jesus' ministry begins? It begins at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. And that's where he does his first miracle. It says Mary was at the wedding feast. It doesn't say if Joseph was there. So we know very little about him after the events surrounding Jesus' birth. During their engagement, during his engagement with Saint Mary, Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant. And this is devastating. It's a devastating and a time for a personal crisis in his life. But how does he react to those circumstances? And that's what makes a saint a saint. That's the small little decisions which have big, big repercussions. That's what sets them apart. Because each and every one of us has these same disappointments in life. How do we react to them? And today we'll be looking at the life of Saint Joseph and looking at what he went through and how did he react to the challenges that were very real in his life. Let's begin with the story of Mary becoming pregnant. Now, like any other human being, like you and I, like anybody throughout history, they would assume that Mary was unfaithful. This is a perfectly natural reaction. You find out that, you know, your fiance is pregnant, boom, she's been unfaithful to you. You can imagine the hurt that he felt. When we are hurt, the first reaction is what? What is the first reaction that you and I, if we're hurt, hurt back? And yet, what does he say? He says, I've decided to quietly divorce her. Not to hurt her. Not to take her and drag her through the streets. I mean, he could have. The crime certainly at that time was a crime of capital proportion. In other words, the offense warranted capital punishment. And he could have easily taken her out into the streets, into the squares, and just had her completely ridiculed and then put to death. But he was unwilling to humiliate Mary. He went beyond the human reaction and took a godly reaction. The human feeling did not overcome Joseph. And is it any wonder that years later, when Jesus had the same situation, a woman accused of adultery was brought to him, what did he do? He didn't condemn her. He said, go and sin no more. Joseph showed compassion, showed mercy, quietly wishing to divorce Mary. We know that afterwards what happens is that the Holy Spirit is on Mary, and no doubt that she shares this vision with Joseph. And what does Joseph say? Now, this is fantastic. I want you to just picture this for a moment, okay? Mary is pregnant. She comes and tells Joseph. He sees in a dream, you know, an angel tells him that don't be scared to take this woman as your wife. She conceives from the Holy Spirit. Now, you are a human being. Whether you hear it from your fiance, you hear it in a dream, which you want to believe is a vision, what do you say? You gotta be kidding. Come on, leave me alone. Get lost. But again, Joseph takes the higher road. He's open to the incredible possibility. Incredible possibilities. With God, all things are possible. We say this so easily, but how many of us really believe it? Are we open that in our lives, miracles can happen? That a miracle of this proportion can take place in our lives? And certainly, how about when our wives, when our husbands, when the ones that we love so much, our children, our parents, come to us and tell us something so absurd, are we open to the possibility to listen to them, to have compassion, to have mercy? When Gabriel had said this to Mary and said that, you know, you conceive by the Holy Spirit, what did Mary say? Said, I am your handmaiden. And in the same way, Joseph obviously believed that with God, all things are possible. He didn't arrogantly throw around the word impossible in the context of God. Think about that in your lives, the challenges that you're faced with. And it's so easy to say impossible. It can't be done. I can't get that raise. I can't get that job. I won't be accepted in that school. That relationship won't work out. It's not possible for me to afford that house. I can't make it in that next lifestyle that I want to make it in. It is impossible for there to be peace in this world. It is impossible for me to love despite all the hate in the face of all the hatred that's been thrown out at me. And I've been slapped in the face too many times. It is impossible. That's arrogance. Joseph says, nothing is impossible. He did not impose a limit on God. And I'll tell you, that's because of his character. Only one who had such a great sense of openness could have accepted such a possibility. And this is the nature of faith. Being able, well, being willing to let God be God and not restrict him with our narrow limitations, with our narrow understanding of life. You know, we tend to decide beforehand what is possible and what is impossible, and we refuse to look beyond those self-imposed limits. Who are we as creatures in this vast universe which we didn't even make to define what can or cannot be done? And who of us is an absolute authority? Yet we continually assume this role, and we dramatically, drastically reduce the possibilities that are in front of us. But not so with Joseph. The impossible was possible. Next, let's take a look at his risk-taking. And I think this is important. In any life, you know, we talk about venture capitalists all the time in world of, in entrepreneurial terms. We could talk about people who put up some capital and they take a chance on things. This guy put up a lot more than just some money. He put up his whole reputation. He put up his life, his lifestyle, and he took a risk based on what his wife told him and based on a dream. And there's not too many people who might do that. There's not too many people who would really, really love someone so much that they would be able to take a risk on something that sounds so absurd. And yet, Joseph does this. Now, there are a lot of points to Joseph, St. Joseph's life that we could look at. I'm going to stop it right here because we could talk about his love, his sincerity, his devotion. These are all elements of being a good father, a good parent, a good and loving, caring companion to someone else. Joseph was exactly that. But what I want to focus in on is these small little characteristics that I talked about. The willingness to believe in dreams. The willingness to believe in the impossible. The willingness to have faith. Because when it all comes down to it, this is it, isn't it? It's a matter and a question of having faith. I could define many things for you today. I could explain to you how 2 plus 2 equals 4, right? Very easily, I could tell you, grab two pens in one hand, grab two pens in the other hand, put them together, 2 and 2, now count them, they make 4. That's a very tangible way that I could prove it to you. The love of God, I can't prove to you. You have to take it on the value of faith. Yeah, I could show you many examples. I could ask you to hold your loved one's hand, to look at the eyes of a child, and I could do all those kind of neat little things, which I do regularly in my life. But as far as convincing somebody, they're going to say, well, those are silly little feelings that you have. I can't explain to you faith. But I could point you in directions of people who have done this. And St. Joseph is today's example. And an example of fatherhood. Now check it out. I didn't talk about his relationship with Jesus. Jesus' relationship with Joseph. I talked about Joseph's faith. And what I challenge you to do today is really understand fatherhood, parenting in those terms. It is our relationship with God that defines us as a good father, as a good mother, as a good parent. How open are we to impossibilities becoming possibilities? How open are we to dreams and the dreams of others? To allow someone to really grow in a relationship with us, whether it is a mate, a father, a child, a mother, a sister, a brother, a wife, a husband. We have multiple relationships. Sometimes we have just very few. It doesn't matter. How open are we to the possibilities there? Much like Joseph was open to his wife's possibilities. And all good fathers, whether they are Robert Young in Father Knows Best, Ward Cleaver from the ancient times, as ancient as Ozzie Nelson, as new as Ozzy Osbourne, their value as fathers or mothers is not in their relationship with their children, but in their relationship with something greater than themselves. Are they open to the impossible? Are they open to God's love? And that's how we have to define ourselves as parent, as father, as mother, as individual living in this world. And whether that's a biological relationship that you have with someone or you have a spiritual attachment with someone, you affect others. And so your openness, your call to faith, your ability to connect with God definitely influences all of the people around you. So do you still think that peace is unattainable, impossible? Well, visualize yourself as part of the solution. Reaching that equilibrium we call peace, whether in your life, in your family, in your community, or in the world. It begins with each of us saying we are open to the possibility of that peace.
Clear white sands of morning wonder, I take my place with the Lord of the Hills. And the blue-eyed soldiers stand slightly discolored in neat little rows, sporting canvas frills.
Well, this Father's Day, there's a different father, a different daddy in the White House. A new one. President Obama spends his first Father's Day in the White House, and certainly all eyes are on him, what he's doing with his kids, but also the world community's checking out what he's doing with the situation in Iran. And one of the things that we as a ministry, Inner Shoes Ministry, has been doing all along is checking out what he's been doing over in Darfur. And sadly, like many politicians, what is being presented as promises during a campaign, somehow, well, we know how, it's called politics, gets twisted away and forgotten when it comes time to act. And in Darfur right now, you know, the genocide is continuing, and they're playing games with different words. And this is, as an Armenian who sees this, knows exactly what this is about. I mean, when they start playing games with, is it a genocide? Is it something else? Is it civil war? Something. We've been through this, you know, for the last 90 plus years, Armenians have been dealing with this. And so I'm very used to it. But, you know, the world community is just getting used to how these politics get played out. And there's an interesting clip that I really want you to check out. First of all, even more important than this one clip, is to follow the work that's being done by Gabriel Starring and his team at stopgenocidenow.org. Check out that website. I've told you many times about it, and it continues to be a very special individual in my life that I look to. Gabriel is one of a kind, just a heart of gold that he is able to go out there. He takes a team out there, and you got to see this session of clips. You know, this is his eighth trip out to the refugee camps in Chad, but this one was very special for me because it showed a lot of the background technology, especially in this one clip I'm going to play for you right now. I really invite you to go to the website stopgenocidenow.org and check out these videos. I'm going to play you the audio on it because it's a group of kids that get together and they've been given a cell phone. And listen who they call.
Hello, Mr. Obama.
Hello, Mr. Obama. Hello, Mr. Obama.
Hello, Mr. Obama.
Hello, Obama.
Hello, Mr. Obama.
Hello, Mr. Obama.
Hello, Obama.
Mr. Obama, are you there?
Hello, Obama. Beep out.
Obama, Obama, Obama.
Hello, Mr. Obama.
Hello, Mr. Obama.
Hello, Mr. Obama.
Hello, Obama.
Hello, Mr. Obama.
Obama.
Mr. Obama, are you there? Pick up the phone. Hello, Mr. Obama. Obama, Obama, Obama.
Hello, Mr. Obama, are you there? Did you hear the excitement with which? Well, I think the excitement came from the small little phone. But I played that clip for two reasons. The obvious one, the call that is made, and it's the call that all of us need to make, that we need to wake up the world to what's going on over there in Darfur. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It is genocide. It is innocent people being killed. And there are ways of stopping it, and we have it in our hands to bring about that peace over there. The second reason I wanted to play this clip, I wanted you to hear the excitement. Yet, having lost everything, yet these little kids are able to present that much excitement. And that is the innocence of youth, that is faith, that is belief in tomorrow, about belief in a dream that may be in a possibility in their sights, but not leaving that dream behind. You know, that's what we've been talking about all along. And so I had to share that with you. And even more, it's a time now to pick yourself up and do something about it, you know, and everybody has to take an active role in this. I mean, this has been going on. You know, the first modern genocide, or the first, let's say, the modern times, was the Armenian Genocide. It happened in 1915. It was repeated during World War II in the execution and the Holocaust of the Jewish people. Later on, it happened in Cambodia as late as the 20th century, end of the 20th century, last decade of the 20th century. We see it happening in Bosnia and again in Rwanda. Now, it's enough. We're in the 21st century. We have all kinds of advances technologically as a civilization. We should not be talking in these terms. We should not be discussing genocide the way we are discussing it right now. And you have it in your power. I'm not talking about going over there, bang, bang, shoot them up, drop some bombs. I'm talking about civilized ways of diplomacy. Al-Bashir was indicted by the International Court. Ever since, he's basically thumbed his nose at the world. There's things that you can do. You can bring him down by bringing other players in there. You could get China involved. But all of this requires people to first and foremost believe in the possibility of those things that are impossible, seemingly impossible. And that's why today's message is a very important one. Those of you who look at it superficially will only see a Father's Day message, but what I'm talking about is very deep. It's the idea of believing in something greater than the self. To become a good father, to become a good ambassador of peace, you need to believe that there is something in charge, in control, and you need to connect to that. And that's the one thread that goes through today's message and has been going through all of our podcasts as well as all of our ministry through In His Shoes. So please do something about Darfur today. Get on the website, get to inhisshoes.org, go to Stop Genocide Now. There are links to everybody else. Drop a text message to Secretary of State Clinton, to your representative, to your senators. Definitely call the White House. And those of you in other countries, I know there has to be other ways. So just avail yourself to all the opportunities that are out there. Let's stop genocide right now. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion too. We hope you've enjoyed today's podcast as much as we've enjoyed putting it together for you. We want to invite you to our website, inhisshoes.org, where you could check out not only this, but all of the activities that we have as In His Shoes Ministries, and also to the apostle.net website. Now, that's a real special one because it's not apostle, it's an epostle. And what's an epostle? Well, it's... it's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding, yes, a doubly expanding universe. And of course, they carry exclusively the Next Step with Father Voskin podcasts. So you'll find not only this podcast, you'll find every other podcast that has come before it. And of course, you could check us out on Facebook, on Twitter. We're In His Shoes at both of those places. And I think on Facebook, you can even check out apostle.net. I mean, like, we are so connected. It's time to connect up with some people that are doing some good stuff. Hey, listen, if you want to contribute to this, we can take it and use it very wisely. All of this costs money, and it's done. It's given out free of charge, but it does cost money. And if you want to be part of that ministry, please make a donation. You could just hit the donate button on inhisshoes.org. And for all the wonderful people who have made a donation, hey, Thank you. We appreciate it. And listen, for all the great people who put this podcast together, for Susie, our producer, who comes to us all the way from Loyola, downtown Loyola, and for Ken up in the booth, way up there, who's removed the glass today between him and I, but has added the special sunglasses. What do you think? You're in Catalina or something? I mean, it's kind of like dark outside too, isn't it? I don't know about you. And for Ani with her bubbles, for all the great people, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take, the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.